You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Staying a step ahead of cyber threats can be the difference between thriving and being thwarted. Afternoon Cyber Tea with Ann Johnson has insights for cybersecurity decision makers striving to succeed amid rapid change. Each week, Ann Johnson, Corporate Vice President for Cybersecurity Solutions at Microsoft, talks with key security experts to explore perspectives on implementing new tech, next-generation security risks, and the current and future state of the cybersecurity industry. Afternoon Cyber Tea is available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. And now, on with the show.
I am immensely successful. immensely successful, but yet, you'd think it'd be good enough being me. Every single day, numerous people come up to me and they say, what's Larry David really like?
That was a clip from Jeff Garlin's new Netflix special, Jeff Garlin, Our Man in Chicago. The actor from Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Goldbergs riffs on celebrity, dieting, and the time someone called him fat and he was the one who got arrested. Today, Jeff Garlin joins me on the podcast to talk about his new special, as well as how Jimmy Durante inspired him to get into comedy, his start with Chicago's legendary improv group Second City and rooming with a young Conan O'Brien, and witnessing one of Larry David's famous fights with the audience at a comedy club. He talks about his worst gig as a comedian, why he always goes on stage to a different song, and why not everyone should follow their dream to Hollywood. Plus, how he kicked the sugar habit, what you can order in a catalog for fat guys, and how he almost got fired from the Goldbergs. Coming up with Jeff Garlin in just a moment. My guest today, Jeff Garlin, from his hit TV shows Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Goldbergs, as well as dozens of movies like Daddy Daycare, WALL-E, and Toy Story 3. He's also a stand-up comedian, and he's out with a new Netflix special debuting November 12th called Jeff Garlin, Our Man in Chicago. And according to his IMDb page, his hobbies are eating pudding and taking naps.
Used to be eating pudding. I don't eat pudding anymore.
No more pudding for you?
No.
Oh, that's right.
This is as wild as it gets. I have dried Fuji apple chips in front of me, and there's a granola,
good stuff.
Yeah, that's about it for me. I don't do pudding. I used to love pudding.
Yeah, you've been off of sugar,
right? Yeah. 2 years yesterday.
2 years yesterday. No sugar at all.
No.
Wow.
Unless you count dried apple chips.
I mean, that's hard because,
no,
you know, there's sugar in everything, isn't there? I mean,
yeah,
how do you avoid it?
Yeah, but it's not like... Look, I'm talking about anything that's primarily a sweet thing.
Right.
I eat fruit.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so it's not like that.
Right, right. Natural sugars you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. How's 2 years? How's that going for you? You look great.
You've lost
a lot of weight. How much weight have you lost?
I don't know.
You don't even know, huh?
I don't pay attention.
Just keep shedding it off.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I think in your special, you said something like what did it for you was you saw a fat model in a fat fat suit catalog or something, and you thought he looked like you.
Well, that was definitely a vain moment where I knew I had to do something. When you look in a catalog, it was this Living XL.
Living XL.
I'm gonna take some water. I just did the apple chips there. Anyhow.
So this is not just clothes.
No, this is Living XL. It's clothes for a fat guy.
It's the lifestyle.
And one of the models, I swear to God, I was like, I never posed for this. Like, how did they? I'm not even like even slightly joking. The guy looked so much like me. He was modeling a special pillow that you put on your, what's the tray table on an airplane and lean forward into.
Oh, to nap? Like to lay your head down?
And the dude looked. I mean, crazy. I still have a copy of it.
Wait, well, I mean, what's the difference in the pillow for a fat guy versus anyone else?
I don't know. I didn't,
What other kind of products do they have in the Living XL catalog?
Let's see. They had the Pride XL mobility chair, which was a like a chair, you know, you put your feet up. Uh-huh. Instead, this one, you pull the lever, the chair rises so you can stand up.
Okay.
They had a toenail clipper with like a 6-foot extender so you don't have to bend. This is completely true. I am not making this up. Hammocks for fat people, bicycles with
what
like
are they
a
made
700
of
pound,
amazing material
700 pound capacity bicycle. Seriously.
Okay. But I mean, what is the Venn diagram between 700 pound guys and guys who like to go bicycling? Go cycling.
Well, first off,
does that
if
exist?
You're out in front of your house watering your lawn, and let's just say a 500 pounder rides by on a bike, you're going to like drop the hose. You're just going to go, what was that? So the idea that a 500 pounder or 700 pounder would go, I'd love to go for a bike ride, but the only thing that's stopping me is I don't know that there's a bike that could hold me. I think they got it wrong on that one.
Now, how about naps? You still a big napper?
The huge napper.
Yeah,
me too.
I'll
never stop with the naps. I took a nap on the way here.
Oh, you did?
In the car.
Nice.
Yes, I did, which makes me fresh and excited.
Yeah.
No, I'm
a huge
napping
napper.
I have trouble sleeping at night. People say because of my napping. No, I just have anxiety at night. Like, I don't have anxiety when I nap.
Huh.
But at night, I wake up at all times with anxiety.
Really? Just your mind racing?
My mind
kind of
racing.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. And so I fall asleep fine. And even on days where I don't get a nap, you think, like, oh, he's going to sleep through the night. No. I have my rhythms at night, and I have my rhythms during the day.
Yeah. So your rhythms work better during the day, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, much better.
Well, you know, are you one of those guys who can sleep anywhere, or do you have to have a whole setup when you take a nap?
Oh, no. I can sleep anywhere. I can sleep on this table.
Oh, I envy you.
I could sleep on the floor here. I could sleep in this chair just where I'm sitting. It would take me no more than 2-3 minutes to fall asleep.
Really? Well, this is a good room for it because when these lights are out, it is silent and it is dark as hell.
It's a great room.
Yeah. I've often thought about putting a folding couch in here.
Right.
Because I want to be flat. If I'm really going to take a nap, I'm not a chair napper.
Then why don't you do that?
There's not a lot of room. And then I get a lot of questions from people who come on as guests and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Know. You know, in the Me Too era, you can't have a couch.
No. By the way, it's true. You can't.
Especially not a fold-out couch.
By the way, not the size of this room. It would be a big ball of wrong.
Yeah. A little bit.
I get it.
Well, I read that you originally wanted to become a comedian from, like, age 8 after you went to see the great Jimmy Durante. Is that true?
Yes. I saw Jimmy Durante at 8 years old. And on the way home, I asked my parents if that was a job. They said it was. I said, that's a job that I want. Because... that's what I was in school. I was the class clown. And I'm not exaggerating. From preschool on, I remember preschool and nursery school getting laughs.
Really? You were always a cutout?
Yes, always.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a name that I don't hear anymore, Jimmy Durante. But, man, he was a talent.
It would be weird
like that don't
if you
exist.
Did hear it because, you know, young people, like, they're rediscovering Jimmy Durante. No, but... the only way a young person, like my children, I show them the movie, it's a mad, 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 mad world many times, and they loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in the movie. He's the old guy who kicks the bucket early in the movie.
Or the Frosty the Snowman Christmas special.
Yeah, he's the voice.
He's the voice.
Yeah.
He's the voice.
Narrator.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird to me to think that there is a whole generation right now of young people, maybe several generations of young people, who only know the names Jimmy Durante, Burl Ives, and Fred Astaire from Rankin-Bass Christmas specials.
But you're assuming that they even know the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials.
Right.
Well, like, I mean,
like, they
still
put
them on. Like,
even
a step away from that, I know. Yeah, yeah. But they don't even pay attention.
Yeah. Man, he was a talent. There aren't a lot of people that I would call entertainers in
Do
this
you know
day and age.
One time
he was
teamed up with Buster Keaton? They were a comedy team. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was later in Buster's career.
That is incredible.
I'm still crunching on these apple chips.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. It's fine.
It's not fine for the listeners.
Well, you know, they need something to wake them up sometimes.
Well, if they're that bored, I don't want, you know, come on, man. What kind of show do you have? They need something to wake them up.
It varies. It varies depending on the guest.
Okay.
But we're doing great today.
Good.
I'm trying to think, what was Jimmy Durante's famous line? What was it?
Inka-dinka-doo.
Oh, Inka. Oh, yeah, the song. Inka, dinka, dinka, dinka.
Good night, Mrs. Calabas, wherever you
are. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's weird that I even know that at my age. But
how old are you?
I am 45.
I would have guessed 42.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. When I met my wife, I told her I was 36. So
when did you meet her?
About 3 years ago.
Okay. Because let's say you were 37. That's not a big deal.
Okay. Yeah. So I got about 3 years wiggle room, you think?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's better than nothing, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, growing up as a kid, aside from Jimmy Durante, who were some of the other people that you gravitated
to? Well, I gravitated to Martin and Lewis, Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Laurel and Hardy.
All the teams. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, also, you know, Jack Benny.
Oh, yeah.
I love comedians. I watch them on Ed Sullivan, watch them on the Johnny Carson show. Albert Brooks, Woody Allen, Bob Newhart. I mean, Shelley Berman.
All the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, Richard Pryor, my all-time favorite.
Really?
So many comedians. I mean, I love comedy. Mm-hmm. Any great comedian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. You covered your bases.
Yeah.
You are a comedy nerd, aren't you? Aficionado.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just a plain old comedy nerd. What about the Brits, like the Goon Show,
Monty
stuff
Python,
like that? Monty Python.
Goon Show.
Yeah.
I was very much into English
Benny
comedy.
Hill.
Benny Hill. Love Benny Hill.
Benny Hill could not work today, could it? Like just some creepy old British guy chasing around naked chicks.
Well, there's something adorable about it because it's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, literally stupid. Yeah. It was stupid then. That was a joy.
It was.
Here's the point of Benny Hill. You say they couldn't do it today. Nobody took it seriously.
Right.
That's
would they
the
today?
Point. Well, yes. Well, here's the problem. Today, somebody would watch an old guy with like these fast motion things and girls in bikinis and silliness and go, that's wildly inappropriate. He's not respecting women. I don't think he's respecting himself. I don't think he's respecting it. There's no respect in it. You know, it's nonsense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just
we need to
silly.
Get over
it's
that
comedy.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But I do have strong opinions about this whole thing that nothing's funny anymore. You can't be funny anymore. You can't make it. That's not true. I have not changed my comedy at all because of the times. Zero. Yeah. Any funny comedian I know has not changed their comedy at all because of the times.
Okay.
No one I know.
But do you do off-color stuff like that? I mean,
I don't
do
know
you
that
do
I honestly
something?
Do off-color.
I
do
what
what's funny.
I
don't
it,
even pay attention.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to say something that is ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who I am.
Right, right.
And the people I know who are funny, same thing.
Yeah.
So I think every topic is on board as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, you say in your special that you almost got fired from the Goldbergs
for
making one un-PC comment.
Well, I made a
what
few, but
say?
They were silly. I would.
What was the big deal?
I think a lot of times when I stand up, I go, oh, my vagina. I do that, which is stupid. I don't have a vagina, and anyone around me knows I don't have a vagina. Oh, my vagina. Or, like, if I make a mistake, I go, oh, grandma's balls. Stupid.
Right.
And
right.
So if you're offended by that, it just doesn't appeal to your sense of humor.
Yeah.
But get over it.
Yeah.
And I'm not coming to your house and doing it. But this was somebody in the crew who, when I would say stuff like this, reported me to Sony HR.
Jesus.
And then HR brought me in And I said, I'm sorry, you're wasting your time. And the producer defended me. It was nonsense.
Yeah.
It's a comedy show. I'm being silly.
Right, you're
a comic. I'm not making any racist comments. I'm making any sexist comments. There's nothing I'm making. It's pure silliness.
Yeah.
So I said to them, they said to me, I remember this so clearly. They said, well, what if TMZ gets a hold of this? I go, and that'll be the first time I speak to TMZ, because I would love it. I would love to tell them that I actually did it, you know, and let people judge me from there. And I told them, I said, I'm sorry. Tell the person that if they want to talk to me about it, I'd love to and respect them, which I would. I would not be disrespectful in terms of someone saying how uncomfortable and why they're uncomfortable. And by God, if they really sold me like why it's uncomfortable to them, I might stop. Do you know what I mean? But not because someone's, quote, offended and tells, you know, it's just we're in a world now with that, you know.
Yeah.
But when I do stand up, if someone's offended, leave.
Right, right. You can always walk out.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's different in the workplace, but.
Well, no, in the workplace, if someone at an insurance agency with a bunch of desks all around, stands up every time and goes, ah, my vagina. It's inappropriate.
That would be weird.
That would be
that
weird
would
and
be
inappropriate.
Out of context.
I mean, really inappropriate. I mean, even if everyone knew he was joking, it's still, that's not the place to say my vagina. I'm on a comedy show. I'm a comedian. When I stand up, even at home, I go, oh, my vagina. And because I have the, I don't know if I do this in the show, the piece about why women don't use that as an excuse that their vagina hurts.
I think you do.
Okay, yeah. Because I think that's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
No man will ever argue with you not wanting to go to dinner. You go, you know what? My vagina is killing me. Oh, what can I do? Can I get you some ice? What can I do to make it better? You know? And, you know, it's like it's such a great instrument to use as an excuse.
Yeah, that's your get-out-of-jail-free
like children,
card right there.
Children and a death in the family, I think a vagina is taken just as
seriously. Oh, it's up there, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like I understand in the wrong situation, you know, you're not supposed to hug somebody. Well, if I have a relationship with somebody and I know somebody and they're a woman and we love each other and we work together, I can hug them. They can hug me. Now, someone I don't know on my show or I don't have any interpersonal relationship with, I cannot just go up and hug them.
Right.
Now, if they're crying, I can go, are you okay? You know, whatever. But the point being is it's just common sense and decency. Yeah. That's where we're at. And the idea that we need rules amongst common sense and decency.
That's so true.
I like to consider myself, even with saying my vagina or grandma's balls, a gentleman. So, you know, it's just common sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's everyone's so.
And I don't ever want.
Right
I don't ever want to make somebody feel bad.
Sure, sure. Of course.
Like
not.
Even if at my show, if someone's offended, I don't want that. I'm not going for that.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows?
Yeah.
And who knows what their story is?
Yeah, yeah. That's true. You never know what the other person's baggage is they're bringing to
right.
it. Right. But you know, but you're a good guy, obviously.
Well, don't say obviously. I like to think that I am.
I think it's
I aspire to be a good guy, but I just, man, you just can't assume.
Yeah.
I do my best.
Yeah, that's a good rule for life. Don't assume.
I don't assume.
Assume makes an ass out of you and me.
Yeah, from Bad News Bears, Walter Matthau.
Yeah.
Or someone said it in the first thing. Was it Walter Matthau? I don't know. It wasn't Walter Matthau. It was Vic, whatchamacallit. Anyhow, point being is, just be kind and thoughtful.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I wrote a book a while back about me trying to lose weight and go green during the Seinfeld season of Curb. It was like a big thing, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the food stuff was really interesting in the book.
Yeah.
Like, really interesting. The green stuff, not so interesting. And ultimately, what I learned about pollution and going green and all that was just common sense. Be thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
Throw your stuff in the recycling container. Try not to use a lot of plastic.
Yeah.
You know, use a car that you can that's got better mileage than other.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, I'm getting solar paneling installed in my house. I drive a Tesla. I'm blessed.
Nice.
You know, that I make enough money to drive a Tesla. But there are other electric cars. Point being, I believe in all that. But really to contribute to society. On that level, it's just being thoughtful. Everything's about being thoughtful.
Right. And in many ways, it's in your own self-interest. I don't get these people who are like so anti-environment and saying, fuck it, let's just drive a Hummer and destroy the environment.
Here's what it comes down to.
We're in the most polluted city in America. I mean, okay. You want to die early?
Those people don't care about their children or other people's children.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's really going to hurt.
Yeah.
Not today, not tomorrow, but in the future.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, you're a Second City guy, right?
I'm a Second City guy.
What was that like? Were there any other big names in your generation there?
Many.
Really?
Oh, many.
Was this the 80s or?
It was late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
But I had everyone there. Let's see here. Tim Meadows, Mike Myers, Bonnie Hunt, Amy Sedaris, Stephen Colbert, Stephen Carell.
Wow.
Nia Vardalos. I mean, I don't know, tons.
That's a huge class.
I'm also skipping probably 10 people.
Yeah, I'm sure. And somewhere I read that you were, I guess, roommates with Conan O'Brien.
I was roommates with Conan O'Brien during that period, actually.
Really? What was he like back then?
He was as funny as the day is long, and he was a sweet guy, great guy. We didn't know at that time he was ever going to be a talk show host. He was a writer.
Oh, right, and,
Yeah, he was a delight. I was honored to know him then.
I read that you used to wake him up in the middle of the night and make him do sketches with you.
Well, what I would do is I would go to the kitchen. His bedroom was off the kitchen. So I'd go, like, get a drink of water or something.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, let me see if he's up. Maybe I can get him to do George Takei, you know, Sulu from Star Trek, which he used to do and say these things. So I go, are you up? I am now. And then I'd make him, you know.
Do George Takei.
Yeah. You should not have snacks when you have a podcast. That's my opinion.
I don't mind.
I told you my driver was slow. You speak for your audience. I say they do.
The audience wants you to be happy. They're generous people. And I think that's fine. If you need a midday snack, then more power to you. Go for it.
I'm getting more power.
Fuel is good
then.
For you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, do you think of yourself as more of a stand-up guy or a sketch guy? How did you originate?
Here's the thing. You think. I don't think about that stuff. But I love sketch. I don't get an opportunity to do it enough. Mm-hmm. I love it. When I was at Second City, the audiences loved me, and my peers didn't have much respect for me.
Really? Why not?
Well, hold on. Stand-up clubs, my peers loved me, and audiences didn't have much respect for me. Yep.
What's worse?
It all worked out. The Second City one.
Yeah.
Because to have your peers just not dig you for whatever reason.
Yeah, that
counts. I was popular among some people, and then other people, they were like, you know. So, and then stand-up, I aspired to have the audience groove to me. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was growing and I believed in how funny I was. So I knew maybe not today, but someday I'm going to slay them, you know? Yeah. I knew I was funny. So I didn't worry about the audience being indifferent to me. And I was trying things. Whereas your peers, you can't say someday they'll like me. Someday they will respect me, which they do. I actually, through Curb Your Enthusiasm, have hired more Second City actors than anyone else in the history of Second City. Now, I'm coming up with that, but I can pretty much safely say that's true.
Yeah, because you're an executive producer on it. You're not just a star on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a show that supposedly, from what I've been told, is largely improv, right?
It is improv. And by the way, the greatest revenge is hiring someone who is mean to you.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in mind?
No, I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying it was being kind and generous to people who weren't nice to you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's
because you know
what's
also cool? They think you forgot, but you didn't.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with Jeff Garland when we come back in just a moment. Looking for some sparkle for under the tree? Finding the perfect gift for everyone on your list can be a difficult task, but it doesn't have to be. Kendra Scott is here to help make your shopping this season as easy as possible with a great selection of gifts for everyone on your list. From a classic pendant necklace to an on-trend statement earring or something customized, they've got pieces for every style and budget, including hundreds of styles under $100. Best of all, Kendra Scott offers free shipping, plus free gift wrapping, and free returns just in case. Want some personal shopping advice? Visit your local Kendra Scott store, and they'll help you find the right jewelry for you and your loved ones, or go to their website and take their perfect gift finder quiz. And man, does that come in handy. Jewelry is my wife's favorite gift, but I have no idea what I'm doing when it comes to jewelry shopping. Kendra Scott makes it easy, so you really can't go wrong. And as our gift to you, visit KendraScott.com and use promo code KICK or mention this ad in your local Kendra Scott store for 20% off your next purchase. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. That's 20% off at KendraScott.com using the code KICK. For companies, governments, and even individuals, managing the ever-evolving cyber threat landscape can be the difference between thriving and being thwarted. Afternoon Cyber Tea with Ann Johnson has insights from CISOs and key decision makers striving to succeed amid rapid change without compromising security. Each week, Ann Johnson, Corporate Vice President for Cybersecurity Solutions at Microsoft, talks with cybersecurity thought leaders and influential industry experts to explore perspectives on implementing new tech, next-generation security risks, current trends, and the future of cybersecurity. Join Ann as she and her guests explore the risk and promise of tools and systems powered by AI, IoT, machine learning, and other emerging technology, as well as the impact on how humans work, communicate, consume information, and live in this era of digital transformation. Because it's not enough to keep up with cyber criminals, you need to stay a step ahead. Afternoon Cyber Tea is available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Listen in to lead the future of security. And now, back to the show. Now, you say in your Netflix special that every day people come up to you and ask, what's Larry David like? Even now, with all your success, they all want to know what's Larry David like.
Or where's Larry is their funny way of saying it. Where's Larry? You know? yeah, but here's the thing. I want to be clear. I understand curiosity with Larry David. Larry David is my mentor, one of my best friends, my coworker, my boss. Like, he's all these different things to me. And I understand why anyone would go, I want to know more about him because he's Larry David.
Yeah.
Man, that's something. I'm in awe of him, you know? So.
And he's so talented. I mean, he is tapped into the id of America.
I've
had many times when I relate to a moment on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's very natural to want to know who is this guy who has this weird window into our soul.
Well, I just look at him at being just brilliantly funny.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Truly, when we filmed that show, we laugh all day long.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. On camera and off camera.
Is the Larry of Curb Your Enthusiasm pretty close to the real thing?
No.
No? Mm. He's not cynical and...
Not really.
I don't know if I would describe him as cynical in the show, but...
I mean, it's basically that person, but... On the show, his id runs everything.
Uh-huh.
And there's no appropriateness.
Yeah.
In real life, he's a thoughtful man.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? He's a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Great friend. You couldn't be a better friend than Larry David.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you guys first meet? Was that doing stand-up in New York or what?
A gentle lovemaking seminar.
Shut up.
Of course, I'm kidding.
Okay.
By the way, for you listeners,
that would be amazing.
I just finished my granola bar. I'm having a little water, and that will be it for me eating for the rest of the thing.
Are you sure? We can make a snack
break.
No,
I feel great.
We have more healthy snacks.
No, I'm good.
I'm trying to get more. I'm trying to be better about healthy snacks.
Oh, by
I got
the way,
a ton of chocolate.
You have a ton of candy bars
out
there.
So much garbage.
When I first looked, I'm like, oh, there's nothing. Then I go, oh, dried fruit, which is a little high in sugar, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, especially compared to a candy bar, which I haven't had in years.
I know. And even what I think of as the healthy snacks are those nut bars. And those nut bars are terrible for you. They got chocolate and all this
sugar.
They're
not terrible for you. The Butterfingers and crap you have is what's terrible for you.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
and by the way, if you can tolerate sugar and your body's okay, having one of those candy bars, Milky Way, every once in a while, delightful.
Yeah, but it's slowly killing
you. But I was a person who didn't just have one. I was a person who Like if someone offered me a plate mm-hmm. of cookies, I wouldn't go, let's save some for the others.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I would destroy it. Well, it'll change your life in a positive way.
Yeah.
Although you look good.
I'm trying. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I try to stay away from the snacks here.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, you met Larry. Was that stand-up or what?
We first met doing stand-up in New York. That's when we first met. And then, that's when we first met. And then years later, I had moved from New York back to Chicago, and he came to town. He was going to a White Sox game. He wanted to see Comiskey Park before they tore it down.
Oh, yeah.
And we hung out in the bar of Catch a Rising Star Comedy Club.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then when he was doing Seinfeld out here, I would bump into him. And it was only years later, like when we're working together, where I said to him, I go, you know, I never even auditioned for Seinfeld. He goes, that's crazy.
Everyone
did. He goes, I could think of 100 parts you would have been perfect for. But I never did. I was never on Seinfeld, and I only wanted to be.
How weird.
People I know were on it. Lots of people were on it. Not me.
Yeah. I mean, that was a cultural touchstone.
And I love that show. Oh, my God. I still love that show.
It is so good.
It makes me so happy.
I mean, did you ever see his old act? Because I've heard stories from other comics.
I knew him as a comedian in New York. I actually saw him go on stage, look at an audience, and go, not tonight, and leave.
Really? That's true. Because I've heard comedians tell me these stories.
Yeah, no, it's true. I saw it. Saw him do it. Saw him get mad. He would get mad at an audience for – and I, by the way, had a rep for doing that.
For doing that, too?
For doing that, too. But,
really?
But not the way he did it. So – it wasn't as amusing.
Yeah, everyone I've talked to from that era, Gilbert Gottfried and a whole bunch of people have told me these stories. Like one night he got pissed off because a New York audience didn't know what a bungalow was.
By the way, Gilbert saw it many – Gilbert was truly of that era with Larry.
Right.
I came in at the end of that era. So Gilbert really knows those stories and really saw the stuff. But also Gilbert's somebody who a lot of those stories are about too. He's legendary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's the guy who was famous for, like, going up and doing, like, impressions of Wallace Beery for, like, a half hour.
Wallace Beery.
I would have loved that. Obscure stars.
I would love a good Wallace Beery impression.
Now, one thing I love to ask comedians is, what was your worst gig ever? And you have a great one. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I don't want to give too much away.
Well, it's in my special. There's so many. But here's the thing. You have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I have been fired. Forget regular day jobs. I have been fired stand-up comedy-wise hundreds of times.
Really?
I've been fired.
No kidding.
I've had owners, I'm not making this up, it's happened to me twice, come up to me in the middle of my show, take the mic away from me, and say, that'll be it.
Were you offensive, or was it just they didn't think you were funny? What was it?
I didn't analyze
it. Yeah, you didn't ask?
I just was like, all right, dude. My favorite thing was I got fired in
that's rough.
I got fired in East Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay, this is completely true. Guy goes, yeah, I can't pay you. I go, why? I mean, I go, you're firing me. You should be paying me for the weekend. Nah. He goes, I got to tell you, though, you're not for my audience, but I really enjoy you. Where do you play in Chicago? I'll come see you. Completely true.
The nerve.
The nerve.
Yeah.
And I couldn't pay my rent that week.
Oh, man.
You know, you live hand to mouth in that
Yeah.
area. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. $50 a gig or something like that.
Oh,
that's
no,
a big
a
deal back
than
then, probably.
This was more than that.
Oh, yeah.
This was like this was from Chicago to
East right, Lansing. Out of town. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a weekend gig.
Yeah. Yeah. What clubs do you work at these days?
I go up here in town at the Improv.
Mm-hmm.
Flappers, worst name ever for a club, but
I love
Burbank,
it. Burbank, yeah.
Yeah, Laugh Factory, Comedy Store. I go up everywhere.
Okay.
I'm taking a bit of a break now because I'm burnt having shot Curb, the last season of Curb, last season of Goldberg's. I'm back at the Goldberg's and all the while was working on my special. So I'm taking a break until December.
Yeah.
Then I'm at Largo, which
you're
is
a busy guy.
My main home is Largo.
Now, I know that you're a big music guy, and I heard that you like to go up to a different song every time, right?
Every time.
What does that do for you?
Well, what it does is I'll walk up on stage to a different song, usually something that's not too cool. If it is too cool for me, I'll comment about I'm not cool enough for that song.
Like what?
But what it does, I don't know.
Okay, sure.
I mean,
different song every time.
I'll give a bad version. I would never use this. But Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Me walking up to that is just, I'm not that cool. Come on, man. But I would never even use that one. That's too, you know. But I play, and I play a different song, more of a chill song at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Different every time. So beginning of my show, I'll play this song, and what does it remind me of? What do I explain to the audience about it? And then that gets me started talking, and before you know it, it's been an hour and I'm leaving.
Really? Yeah, you like to wing it. In fact, a lot of your special is improvised,
but
yeah,
that,
right?
But that was – my special is improvised.
That's brave.
It would be brave if that was my intent. Oh, yeah? I worked for 3 years on my special, having a beginning, a middle, and an end, a theme, thoughts. I want it to be a thoughtful special.
Yeah.
Well, we filmed in Chicago. It's called Our Man in Chicago. I did two shows.
Yeah. You're from there, right?
From Chicago, yes. First show, I did pretty much with a very little improvising, beginning, middle, and end.
Okay.
Second show, I just, wherever my whimsy took me, plus the material, I went. And I was able to capture what I do. If Netflix is paying you money to, in fact, do a special, you can't, even though I trust going up every night in front of an audience that I've never seen with nothing prepared, I trust that.
Not with Netflix money.
Well, by the way, if they said, we'll give you the special and we're not going to pay you, I probably would still do it if I could improvise.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be worried. I wouldn't be worried about it either way.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just not fair to them, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. They got to know
what actually, they're buying. I was actually so giddy the second show, which is what essentially my special is, because I was thinking the whole time, oh, my God. This is so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm making this up. Like this is the stuff I do at Flappers on a Sunday and no one knows. And now this will be on Netflix. It was very exciting.
Yeah, you do great crowd work. That's a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, do you ever freeze up? Do you ever have a moment where you're like, shit, I got nothing?
Nope.
No? Never.
Nope.
Never. Not and even for a second.
If there ever was a moment when I had nothing, I would look at the crowd and go, I got nothing.
Yeah,
I have, like Larry goes, not tonight. There have been times I've performed, and then at a certain point I go, yeah, I'm done, and I just leave.
Hey, they appreciate your honesty. That's better than giving them 5-10 more minutes of nothing.
Yeah, but I never have those moments. Yeah. I don't overthink it.
Do you ever have bad nights? And if so, how do you shake that?
Okay, couple things. First off, yes, I do have bad nights. The only ones that shake me to the core are when the audience is great and I'm no good.
Really?
Because you have to understand, an audience is made up of so many different things. DNA, where they were raised, how they were raised, what they earned, do they like their job, how's their love life, how's their sex life, what did they eat, are they exercising? All these things go into their well-being that bring them into a room on that particular day. So chemically, I look at an audience as like a chemical being. Mm. That is different. Now, there are nights where I go up and I'm on fire. I feel funny. I know I'm funny. And the crowd, frankly, not into it. Nothing I can do. It becomes more craft and less art, you know, to get through it.
Yeah.
And by the way, most of the time, they don't even know that it's not a great show.
Really?
Because it seems like, oh, that was great. No. Me, okay. My
shows
are
great
when I have a great audience.
Mm-hmm.
It uplifts me. I do go to, and that's what I had with my special. The audience was great.
Terrific.
So I could go anywhere. And then also there are nights where I don't feel funny and the audience laughs at everything and think, oh, they're so wrong. But generally it goes well.
Is there any science to it at all? Do you know that, like, if you go on earlier in the evening, you might get a crowd that's not
the
getting
only
it,
science or? That I know of as a comedian is Friday late shows can be very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're tired and they've been drinking.
Mm, yeah.
And that combination is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So Other than that, during the course of a week, it's random as to what it is. But that's the only one the comedians know. Friday late shows can be a big bowl of difficult.
Yeah.
I haven't had a bad Friday late show in a lot of years, but I can say having done comedy for 37 years, I've had maybe 1,000, you know, if I've had that many Fridays, you know. Yeah, wow. I mean, just really bad audience.
Oh, how about hecklers? Do you ever get them, and what's your rule? Do you engage or not engage?
I rarely get hecklers who are trying to top me.
Okay.
But they're destroyed.
Yeah.
No, it's not even fair. No, I'm telling you, because the basic premise that any comedian should know is make sure the audience is on your side.
Yeah.
If the audience is on your side and you know what you're doing, that person does not have a prayer. Yeah. Now, if the audience is not on your side, it's going to be harder. Yeah. You got to figure it out. It's like a puzzle. You move through it. But see, that's why comedy is made up of art and craft. The craft is really the work you put in ahead of time and those nights when things aren't going right. The art is when everything's going right and you've had the craft to put into it and you're having the joy. Joy and art go along. Joy and craft are not friends. Craft is work. Yeah. Craft is me doing sets so I stay in shape when I have an important show.
Yeah, you use that word a lot, I've noticed, joy.
Yes.
That comes up a lot with you.
It's the most important word to me.
Really? Is that a recent revelation or is that something you've always had?
I look back and I have more of it in later years. Mm-hmm. As I've gotten older, more joy. But it's like people use the word, are you happy? See, now happiness is so cyclical. Mm-hmm. Happiness is like you go through periods, you're very happy, you're not happy.
Right.
Part of your day, you're happy. It's just up and down.
Yeah. And if you're like more of a state of being, whereas joy is a little bit more verby.
Joy is the way you approach it.
Yeah.
Joy is how you look at it. Joy is how it's just joyful.
Yeah.
You know, you want your experience of doing this podcast to be joyful. Now, if it's joyful and your listeners get something out of it, that's a home run.
Yeah.
Okay, but
win-win.
If it's joyful, you should look at doing something else if it's not enjoyable to your listeners.
Yeah.
But if it's painful and your listeners love it, you still should look at something else because you should look at stuff that's joyful. You don't need to be feeling that pain.
Yeah, and something you're good at. I love it. I think that was some of the best advice that I've heard in the special. You say, follow your dream, but only if it's what you're the best at, right?
Whatever your dream, this place, L.A., is loaded with people following their dreams.
Right.
But it's really important that your dream is what you're great at.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're only going to be sad and fail.
Yeah. That's great advice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
so
an act of kindness.
So if you do what you're great at and it's your dream, you're blessed.
Yeah.
If you do what you're great at and your dream is something you do on the side, you're blessed. If you follow your dream and it's not what you're great at, you're not blessed at all. It's terrible.
Yeah. And that's not the worst thing in the world.
I've seen it so many times. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't all have our dream come true.
By the way, when I tell people do what you're great at, I'm not saying don't do your dream, but don't rely on your dream.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, this town is littered with people who were told to go out to Hollywood and follow their dream, and no one was kind enough to say, look, you know what? You're not that good.
Well, by the way, at least here in Los Angeles, people are following their dreams. Mm-hmm. People go to South Florida just for the weather. There's no dreams.
That's true. Now, I'm kind of surprised, you know, to hear you use this word joy over and over again, because you talk about it in the special, I guess, this is what, 2017, you had a rough year, your mom died, you got divorced, and around that time, I think it was that you got arrested of all felony vandalism?
It's throughout the order.
Okay.
The arrest
I'm going backwards.
Came before that.
Okay.
Yeah,
so the same chunk of time.
Yeah, felony vandalism for A car window got cracked, you know. Why are you asking me every question from stories in my special?
Because I'm lazy.
It is lazy. I don't want to do my whole special.
Okay.
I want people to watch the special, you know. But
I'm giving
teasers. Yeah, and you know, and the charges. It's a good story in the show.
It is a very good story. And I feel bad for you because it's not your fault. And a smarter cop probably would have.
It is my fault because I had ego. Ego was involved. Like, what are you doing? Like, instead of someone does something crappy, stick to your lane. Mm-hmm. Let them have their festival.
Yeah.
You just do what you do. But in 1 year, you could add like another year to that. So it was like I got arrested and then I got divorced. My mom died. My dogs died. I had two dogs. They both died. All in like the same year. It was a bit much. But you know what? I found joy, and I kept moving forward.
Good for you, man.
I took adversity on.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's life.
Yeah,
No one guarantees you that you're not going to have tragedy or adversity.
Yeah.
So you got to go through it. You got to. Mm-hmm. You have no choice but to move forward or die.
I like that. That's a very Jewish way of thinking.
Yeah, maybe it is. Have some soup.
Jews know that their misery is part of life.
But you know? And Jews did it throughout history. Yeah. Move forward.
Yeah.
Move forward. Keep going forward. No matter how scared you are, no matter how much pain, you keep moving forward. And then,
good stuff. And you meditate too, right?
I do transcendental meditation, yes.
Good for you. I'm trying to get into that. I'm trying to start.
All right, let's take a few steps back. We're going to talk about this right now.
Okay.
I'm trying to start. So can I rephrase that for you?
I have no idea what I'm doing.
No. I can rephrase it for you. You go, I thought about that. I'm trying is basically, I've thought about that. Because either you're going to or you don't.
If I'm...
Do you know where the local transcendental meditation place is to where you live?
No, I don't.
Then you stop there. Stop there. Because you need that.
So I need training.
Yeah, you have to learn how to do it.
I can't just sit under a Bodhi tree.
No, you can't just sit on a Bodhi tree.
Okay.
Do you have a Bodhi tree?
Okay. No.
They're usually tiny and on people's counters.
Okay. All right. So that's not working for me. So I'm just daydreaming. I'm a daydreamer, I think.
Well, maybe. But, you know, there's a great song by Neil Young called Dreaming Man about that. And the truth is, man, meditation is delightful. You don't have to do it. Don't beat yourself up that you're not your best self. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Like your ideal self meditates.
Yeah.
My ideal self does stuff too.
Yeah.
What's your real self want?
I want to meditate.
I sound like, especially with my voice, I sound like Tony Robbins. That's what I'm turning into.
You should do some tapes. Yeah.
No, and that's not going to happen.
Well, before
I know nothing.
Before we go, I have to ask about Star Wars. You are going to be in the next Star Wars film.
See, this is something that's come up a lot lately.
I'm sure it has.
And it's kind of a joke, and I forgot how it got out. But the reality,
it's not true.
The internet, there's pictures of me in Star Wars, and it's not me. And
what?
You know what I think when I see
the guy from the catalog.
Yeah. No, but you know what I even see when I see this picture, I go, I don't even know if that's Star Wars. Like, it's this weird alien-looking thing. Yes, I am, but I'm just the background person.
Oh, yeah?
J.J. Abrams is my friend. I became an alien in
friend.
The scene. I think you'll know who
I am.
Oh,
that's awesome.
When you see it, but I have nothing to do with the movie.
Would I recognize you? Or are you made up?
I'm unrecognizable, but I'm recognizable.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
What about the next season of Curb?
January 19th.
Any teasers? Three lines?
It's funny.
Okay.
You want three lines. So it comes back January 19th. It's funny, and I was filled with joy making it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Good. You're a joyous, joyous man.
Well, thank you. And it's
and
good
you're
to
a
have
pleasure
snacks.
To talk to.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Snacks, anytime. Help
your
yourself.
Next interview, prepare.
I'll try.
Don't just, you know, that's like De Niro's here talking about The Irishman. Now, in the first scene, you go to a puppet theater and you kill a man. So tell us about that. Don't do that. And by the way, you did ask good questions while we were here.
Oh, thank you.
It's
thank
not
you.
Like you were Baron Von Lazy,
thank
but you,
you
kept on bringing it. You had a run.
Hey, you got something to promote. I'm
Hold
trying
on.
To help you here.
No, that's how you do it. But by the way, there what you had a run in the like towards the end of like, here's another thing from your special. Here's another thing.
Yeah.
But in general, it was joyous.
Hey, I got to please Netflix.
Why? Do you work for Netflix?
No, but I want to get more guests.
Why would you not get guests?
I'm just kidding. You were amazing.
And Netflix is not going to stop.
The special's awesome.
Hey, by the way, if Netflix says you can't have guests, I'll get you guests. I'll bring them here.
No kidding.
I'll bring them here.
I'll tell them that.
I'll have a granola bar. I'll drop them off. I'll leave.
And you are no slouch yourself. Jeff Garland, our man in Chicago.
Yes.
It's available on Netflix starting November 12th. And, of course, you can catch him on The Goldbergs and the new season of Curb coming in 2020.
Yes.
Jeff Garland, thanks.
Thank you. An honor to be here.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Jeff Garland for joining me on the podcast. Jeff Garland, Our Man in Chicago, is available on Netflix starting tomorrow, Tuesday, November 12th. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and rate and review us while you're there. 5-star ratings and detailed reviews are one of the best ways for new listeners to discover the show. You can also follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at @KickAssNewsPod and recommend us to your friends on your social media. For more fun stuff, visit kickassnews.com, and I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News.